We are about to go into Monday Afternoon Classics with Gandalf and visit with our friend Sophie Denier, who should be on the line right now. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Wonderful.
I certainly am.
I'm glad to hear that. Just let me just introduce the program, and then we'll begin talking, okay?
Great.
Good afternoon, lovers of fine music, and welcome to Monday Afternoon Classics with Gandalf, where we will hear the best of 20th and 21st century classical music, as well as interviews with occasional guests. And it is indeed a great pleasure to introduce for the second time, I believe, our guest, Sophie Denier, who is a remarkable composer, singer, lyricist, painter, you name it, a true Renaissance person. Sophie, welcome to Monday Afternoon Classics with Gandalf.
Well, thank you, Gandalf. I'm very happy to be back here. It's been a while.
Yes, it has. I was trying to figure out just how long it has been, but my memory...
I believe it's been 2 years. I think it's been 2 years, yes. Almost sure.
Well, the important thing is that we managed to convince you to come back on the program again, and that's what's really exciting. And give us a little bit...
Well, it wasn't too hard to convince me, because I had a very good time last time I spoke to you.
I think so. So did all our listeners, and I know that I did. But for those
Well, I know you did. I knew you did. That's why I'm back here.
Well, let's remind our listeners... about your background. Tell us something about where you come from and where you studied and, you know, some of that stuff.
Okay, I am from a town called Gothenburg in Sweden, which is the second biggest town after Stockholm. When I was 19, I left for the States, where I studied music at Berklee College in Boston for 4 years, and I was mainly focusing on jazz. But I was also making a direction in singing contemporary classical music with ensembles, as well as joining world music, jazz ensembles. That was pretty broad, but mainly doing music that was sort of improvised. So I hanged around in Boston for a few years. Then I went down to New York for half a year. And after that, I moved to Madrid in Spain.
Wow,
I stayed there working as a musician, teaching, working, also touring all over Europe and other places, making my music as well as participating in other people's groups. Yes.
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt you. When did you know that you were going to make music your career? How did that happen? Was there any, you know...
I started earlier with music than I told you. I started playing classical piano when I was 7, and I took lessons for quite many years. But I never had decided for myself that that's how it was going to be in the future, as in my profession. I was just a very creative kid. I liked to paint. I liked to play the piano. I liked to sing. It was just a very sort of intuitive feeling about it. But I guess I maybe when I began, you know, college studies, I think there it all went more serious towards what I wanted to do.
Well, you mentioned that you studied at Berklee College, which I probably told you the last time we spoke is right down the street from where I went to high school.
Yes, I think you told me, yes.
Yeah, I grew up in Boston and went to Boston Latin School, which is really not very far away. But and did you find Boston to be a musically friendly city, so to speak, while you were there?
Yes, I did. I did. I mean, it was my first experience in the, you know, living in the States when I came to Boston, and also being on the East Coast, I sort of felt that it had things from Europe as well, so and all these European people coming there, it was a big international atmosphere, so it wasn't so strange after all. Even though going abroad when you're 19 always can be a bit,
daunting.
Shocking. shocking to begin with when you start living somewhere, but I had a very good time, and for me it was great. I mean, there was a lot of people there who had been studying before they started Berkeley or started college, so they were sort of more prepared with several years of maybe theoretical studies. I was not. I started with everything there, mainly, except for the piano studies I told you about. But I learned a lot. For me, it was a very good experience, even though I think you learn a lot after you quit school, because then you have to throw everything away, especially with serious music.
Interesting. I love that. It's interesting that you say that. You're not the first person who has spoken that way, but it's interesting. And then, obviously, you've enjoyed something of an international career since then, because I believe you said that you were just touring Europe, or was it Argentina? I'm not sure.
Yes, I went to most recently I had a tour in Argentina. Just September, October, this fall. And I have been to Argentina much earlier, and I was also part of a couple of bands while I was at Berkeley, Argentinian jazz groups, which was very exciting indeed. And I had also collaborated with composers in Puerto Rico and the Caribbean, as well as in Holland and Spain. So it's been all over, really.
You've really
except
gotten
except for Asia. I've been to Japan, but that's about it.
Well, you've really gotten around, and it's very interesting to listen to the music that has come out of all of this.
I've been certainly picking up a lot of different influences. I wouldn't classify myself as a, only a jazz artist, even though most people these days want to peg you right there. But I tend to make music, and that's it. And I know these days it's very important to have a label on everything. But I believe that if you really are, if you're honest in your creation, you just do. And then it's up to people to call it whatever they want to call it.
Well,
that's not my problem.
And I agree with that. And, of course, I think that human beings have a need to categorize things in order to understand. But, you know, what's going on, it somehow, I think it gives us a context of some sort. But your particular compositions, it seems to me, are very nicely summarized in the beginning of your online biography that says, Sophie Dunér is a singer, songwriter, composer, arranger, and visual artist from Sweden with a past in the United States and Spain and other places. Originally a jazz singer, her writing and performing have evolved into a realm of wild, risky, passionate, and exhilarating music for vocals and string quartet, which she has rendered pristine arrangements stylistically in a fusion between jazz and classical idioms. And the other day when we were talking, I mentioned the word fusion, and I know that that's not your favorite word, but on some level it seems to me that it does describe what you do. Maybe there's just no name for what you do, and that's kind of neat.
Well, actually, I got a pretty nice comment from my producer a couple of weeks ago. He said it's not fusion, it's called Dunéresque. Which is my last name. And it's sort of a new genre, which I like very much. Of course, everyone wants to invent a new genre. But I believe most people might want to call it a diffusion. That's possible. How would you name it?
I think Dunéresque is a perfect, category for it. I think
let's call it that way then.
The Latin term for that is sui generis. The Latin term for that is sui generis or sui generis, which I guess means one of a kind. But
that's good. That's sweet. I like it.
let's talk a little bit about your newest release. I think it's your newest release, The City of My Soul, and we're going to play this straight through today, and then we'll come back and we'll see how much time we have left and what more we can play, because I want our listeners to get, the full to feel the full force of your talents. So tell us about The City of My Soul. What is, you know, how did this come about, and what was the inspiration or for the title and for the various songs?
Okay, well, it's sort of a continuation of the previous CD that I made when I was on your station 2 years ago, mm-hmm. which was entitled The City of My Dreams. Mm-hmm. And that was actually the first time I ever arranged for a string quartet. I've always been a huge fan of the string quartet. I love the sound, even though I come from jazz, and it's not very common to use a string quartet in jazz. The advantage with this is that me coming from jazz, I can get the exact colors that I want in the combination of the voicings. I love jazz and I love its freedom, but sometimes I also want to hear the colors that I had in my mind because I'm a painter as well, and it's important for imagine if you're a painter and you want certain colors in your painting, and then someone else comes and they change it around, and it's not what you had in mind. It could be lovely, but it could also be disaster. So here, for once, I got all the colors that I wanted in my piece, also musically. And the strings are amazing that way because they play what's written, and that does not always happen in jazz. It's more of a sort of a collective way of working towards making the piece sound good, as opposed to the individual is expressing himself on the instrument, which is fantastic. It's great. I mean, I love it. I love making solos. I love feeling free when I sing jazz. But for these compositions in particular, this is what I wanted. And my next project became The City of My Soul, which is really a continuation of the first one. There's a few more songs, and I have added improvisation, which I think the girls in the Kalina Quartet are making a great job. So I really get both things in this recording, The City of My Soul. This is the lyrics are, all the same as in The City of My Dreams. A few songs are new, but the whole concept is very similar.
And you wrote the lyrics?
Sorry? Yes, I wrote all the lyrics.
Okay. So you're a poet also.
They also have to do with my paintings. The characters in my paintings are probably people that I already have met, and also the characters in the lyrics of my music. It's all same crowd in there. People that I will meet, maybe, or people that I have met, or people that I already know. So they're all actors. And it could interact with each other. I also make audiovisual videos, and in Argentina I had two audiovisual projects where you could see the art on the wall flashing by next to the concert while I'm singing. You can see them behind me. So it's sort of, all these audiovisual things interacting with each other. Do you follow me?
I do. I do have one question, and mm-hmm. please excuse me for being simplistic, but what exactly do you mean when you say you can get the colors exactly the way you want them? What are colors in music?
Harmonies.
That's a
musical harmonies.
Okay.
Colors.
I just wanted to, to clarify that in case anybody was listening.
I understand. I understand. That's how I, when you hear the harmonies, you can also see, when I paint, I see the colors that I want. And harmonies for me are the same thing. It's like you paint from a big palette of colors, and the harmonies give you different colors as well. For me, it's all visual, but maybe not for everyone.
Well, there are people who see colors when they hear music. There's a name for that that's gone right out of my head just now.
Right.
But there have been books written about that, as a matter of fact.
Uh-huh.
Messiaen, for example, was famous for that.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He evidently saw colors that changed with whatever the music was, or whatever the key was, or the note, or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that do that. That's pretty fascinating. Let's talk about the 19 songs that make up The City of My Soul. What will our listeners be hearing, in these songs? And you can describe them any way you like, whether you want to talk about the stories they tell or how they tell it or what you tried to do.
Right. Well, could you give me a second here.
Sure. Take your time.
I'm going to get some flashback here from your voice. The City of My Soul. Well, I sort of try to balance a lot of contrasts in the music. One song can represent very harsh things, another can be very soft, very romantic. In my music, I play a lot with romantic sounds, and then suddenly something sharp comes in, and then it goes back to romantic again, and then the dissonance enters. And I like to play with those extremes all the time to make contrasts. Do you understand?
Yes, I do. And one of the things that I notice about the songs is that you haven't simply made a list of similar kinds of ideas. For example, you go from Cairo, which I assume is the city, to Caravan, to the plot,
right,
to Marionettes, to the City of My Dreams, to Hey Doctor. And so you really have a mixture here of different focuses.
Right. It also, the order of the songs, they're very planned that way, so it will create big contrasts, because you have the City of My Dreams, which is quite a romantic song. You have Hey Doctor, which is more aggressive, and then you have Aurora, which is more silent and sort of has an edge to it, especially with the lyrics that are very contrasting, because Aurora, it's sweet and romantic, but if you listen to the lyrics, it's about a little girl can be quite vicious. So I play with contrasts again. I do it with the lyrics, I do it with the music, and I do it with the arrangements. I try to you know, put black and white against each other, or red and green next to each other, hot and cold, all these things. I always do that with my music, with my art, and with my poetry. I guess it's 70% romantic and 30 dissonance. Some reviewers have called it that way.
Well,
but that depends on you as well, you know, how you see it. Am I getting too complicated?
No, not at all. It's fascinating to listen to.
And it's really childish, after all.
No, I don't
think so.
I don't think that. I don't think that at all. I just think you're defining the new genre that your producer has named after you. That's all.
Yeah.
And I think that's fascinating. Now, tell us something about the Calino Quartet. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit.
The Calino Quartet, yes.
Who are they?
They are a UK-based string quartet. I think two of them are from Ireland, and the rest of them are from England. And they mainly focus on classical repertoire. But they were interested in collaborating with me on this project, and I think it worked out really great. I got introduced to them a few years ago when I was looking for a group to record this project together with producer Michael Haas and sound engineer Neil Hutchinson. So I think it turned out really great. I was really lucky to I think that the whole project turned out fantastic. I'm very proud of it.
Well, our listeners are going to be able to tell for themselves in just a few minutes when we begin to play this CD. And let's see, what else? Okay, am I right in assuming that Sarah Sexton is a violin, the first violin?
Yep.
And Becky Jones, second violin?
No. Jones is viola.
Okay, and how about Sarah McMahon?
Cello.
And Fenella Humphreys is the second violin?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to get that straight, because it's only fair to give them credit, I think. So that's what
Doing.
And this is going to be, who publishes this? Who publishes this CD? I should know this, but what company or group actually records this? Is this a private group of your own, or?
Well, this is a private, it's a private project.
I see.
That I'm the composer, I'm the singer, I'm the arranger, and I'm the one who publishes it as well.
I see.
Yes.
Okay, let's say goodbye for the duration of this. This will take about an hour, and I probably will have to interrupt it just to give a station break and announce that, and then we'll get back, and we will have time to listen to other music that you have so kindly sent along after we're done with this. So before we begin, is there anything else that you want to talk about?
Regarding this project?
Yeah.
No, not at the moment. In that case, I'll let you know afterwards.
Okay, that's...
Now there's a lot of music that's going to be played. So I look forward to talk to you later on then.
About, I will call you back in about a little under an hour. I think, how long does this take actually? I should remember these things, but I
think actually this whole CD is about 58 minutes.
Okay, so it's just under an hour, and we're going to play it now, and we'll call you back as soon as it's done, okay?
Fantastic.
Great.
Good thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You
and thank you, Sophie. It's great to talk
thank
to you,
you
again. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, great. I thought maybe I hadn't done this right. I'm so grateful. Well, regrettably, that magnificent City of My Soul that you wrote with all 19 of its pieces has come to an end. And I really love the piece that you ended this on. And I guess The Lightness of Being, what's the name of the Czech writer who was also the president who wrote The Unbearable Lightness of Being, I think. That's what that reminded me of.
Oh, yes, the movie.
But he wrote the book too, and I'm
yeah. But that was a movie also.
Right. Yes, it was. As a matter of fact, and I actually saw the movie also. I forgot about that.
Yep.
You are absolutely correct. I like the way you ended this whole thing about talking about the weather. If you if you ever write another verse to that, you could add very busy texting.
Very busy texting.
Yes.
Well, actually, I tell you, that song once used to be a slow, laid-back bossa nova.
Ah.
But as I got into the strings, it was changed to this style. But the origins of the song was meant for a different groove.
I see.
You can do many things with the song.
Yes, you can. And
that changes the whole character. Personality.
Well, I absolutely, and that's what it's all. That's what art is all about, isn't it?
Definitely.
You can, you know, do all those things. I couldn't help thinking as I was listening to this, and now I've listened to this several times. I couldn't help thinking that the fusion here, in a way, works as follows: that the vocal is kind of like a postmodern jazz vocal, and the instrumental quartet is like a postmodern classical treatment. And the amazing thing is that you got them to work together. They really
work. I got them to work together.
Yeah, they really work beautifully together.
Now, the curious thing is that people tell me things. It's like the analyzers after seeing a piece of art. You know, they have all kinds of words for it, and when I do it, I don't think in those terms. I just do it.
Well, you know,
and so, it's great because it has all these, of course, all styles and all these. Naturally, it has names: expressionism and surrealism in art, and as well as in music. But it's just when I create things that I don't think about style.
I'm sure you don't. And I think this is just another version of the old adage, those who can do, those who can't analyze.
Right. I do. Well, I analyze things as well. But when I write music or when I perform, when I do music, I don't think. I just do. I use my intuition.
Oh, I'm sure that the analysis is actually taking place subconsciously in some way. But
Of course. It's all the subconscious that comes up, but I don't think about it. But, of course, it's all loaded in there.
Well, just let me remind our audience once again that our guest is Sophie Dunier, who is speaking to us from a suburb of Stockholm?
No, it's just actually this is outside Gothenburg.
Oh, okay.
Gothenburg, which is the second biggest city in Sweden after
okay.
Stockholm.
I wasn't
about
sure.
4 hours difference by car, 5 hours.
Oh, I see.
This is in the southwest of the country.
Aha. Uh-huh. I think I mentioned once before that I actually passed through the city that you come from. That's long before you were born, and I have some memories of it, but not, you know, I'm getting old.
Right. I think you told me that.
Yeah. Well, one way or the other, no matter. So we have just a little under a half hour left. We weren't really sure how long this was going, you know, where we were going to get to with this particular CD. So now it's up to you. I know that you mentioned that we might do La Finadita. Now, I know you didn't compose the music to that, but you selected that. And tell us a little bit about that piece. What does it mean and who composed it and whatever?
Well, I think I will have to disappoint you a little bit when it comes to what it is about. This is a territory that I don't completely control. I participated on a CD many years ago in the United States, and this is a track on a CD by a composer that I worked with at the time, a performer in the States from Argentina, Fernando Torres. And I participated on this song, and I loved singing it so much. So very often I tend to put it, you know, on radio shows, and because I really, really love the expression that I have in this song. And I wish I could do it more often because it has this very guttural sound, and there's lots of improvisation, and I sing in Spanish. As opposed to my CD that you just heard, I use a register that's quite high up there and low. I switch a lot up and down. In this piece, I use a lot of the low register, but I also go up in the improvisational parts where the voice goes really wild. I mean, I hope you'll tell for yourself. I don't want to describe anything beforehand, but I really love this piece, and it's sort of a chacarera, I think, Argentinian folkloric song mixed with sort of a jazz fusion, and it's composed. The composer's name is Diaz, his last name. But I really don't know what La Finadita means. I am sorry to disappoint you.
No, you're not disappointed.
I do speak Spanish, but that word I particularly don't control. I just love the piece itself, and I'll be very happy if you play it.
Well, we're going to play it in just one moment. And who is performing on this? Do you remember?
Yes. It's Fernando Torres on guitar. Donnie McCoslin on sax, Fernando Huergo on bass, Dan Reiser on drums, and Tino Dorado on piano. This is a long time ago, but it's still one of my favorite performances that I've done.
Okay.
My voice. I was really happy how it came across.
We're going to hear this right now. I'm not going to just...
It was recorded in Stamford, Connecticut, outside New York.
I don't know if you've been watching any of the weather reports about what happened in Connecticut during the last storm we have, but they've been without electricity for well over a week now. And
I've heard about the snowstorm in New York.
This was
quite extreme. We still haven't got that even here in Sweden, which, you know, we usually have very cold winters, but no snow so far.
Well, I hope you don't get it, but who knows? Anyway, we're going to hear our guest, Sophie Dunier, singing La Finadita by, what's his first name, H? Diaz.
Diaz, yes, okay. Hernan Diaz.
Okay, and don't hang up because we're going to keep you on the line for the rest of the program, okay?
Great.
You should be able to hear this, by the way.